three names now at the moment. First Richard, then Carla, then Paul.
Just to slightly develop this point, when armies originally seized property, etc., etc., they were led mostly by warrior kings. And this is how the whole elite system is first established. So if you were the best fighter in the village, you automatically almost became the leader because you were the best fighter, the best military strategist, etc., etc. And I said there are a few exceptions, but overwhelmingly, they seem men. So it's not just a combination of the fact that the armies were made up of men, they were led also by warrior kings or local or local warlords.
Yeah, and carried off the women over their shoulders. They had men.
Okay, Carla, please.
Okay, first I want to say thank you, Jones, for taking responsibility for your sex. Thanks for taking responsibility, because a lot of men do not take responsibility. I'm not saying, you know, they may behave very well, but they tend to keep quiet when other men make sexist remarks. They tend to not stand up and be counted. So well done for that. But yes, I agree with you, Janet. I think that circumstances, the way we live, certainly exacerbates the problems. You know, men have a hard time at work. They come home, take out on the missus, or the dog, or the missus takes out on the kids. The kids get battered. The kids take it out on the animals. The animals get battered. So yeah, it's obviously a trickle down process. But you know, as socialists, we have to look at what is going on, and there is some amount of personal change needed.
Yes, definitely.
Paul, I think it very much boils down to this sense of power. You know, having power over someone. In Scotland, this coming season, Glasgow Rangers are about to be promoted to the Premier League. Social services and the police are gearing up for what's called the Old Firm Games. Whichever team wins or loses, the opposite team, the incidents of domestic violence increases tenfold. Fewer on the losing team, the fans, the loss of a game, maybe the loss of a power, it translates, you know, it could be building up in oneself, and invariably it comes out when they get home, you know, any excuse, the dinner's not on, and it just explodes, you know, and very often it's the wife that's on the receiving end of it. So they're actually beginning to gear up in and around Glasgow social services and the police in preparation for this as a sixfold increase. I think women getting really severely beaten, in some cases murdered, by way of a man feeling the need to impose his power, having just lost them. I mean, this status, this kind of hierarchical thing. So it very much is, you know, this sense of power that's having to be released. You know, and it is very much down to the individual to control that. Won't just be exclusive to Glasgow. So you can, but, you know, expand on that anywhere you like. But it's very much a problem in that city.
Thank you.
There's three names down at the moment. Anybody else who wants to chip in after that, that's fine. On whichever subject you like, really. But. Profiting from a manless world is also a subject that you can comment on if you want. And that's not me feeling uncomfortable, honestly. I think this is good. I think the SPG... honestly, I think the SPG maybe needs a cultural revolution. I think this is one area where we lag behind the left, and that's saying something. For their own opportunistic reasons, I think the left have actually addressed questions relating to gender and sexuality and race in ways which the SPGB hasn't done so much, I suspect, because we've got the DOP and that covers everything. Just by a small point. Okay, we've got Danny first, then Bill, then Jacqueline. Danny.
What's put to me, and I'd like to agree that capitalism is a sadomasochistic society, in the sense that, you know, we all have to take stick. And every now and again, we get the opportunities to dish some out. That's what goes on. You've got the governor at work, and doing this. It's great to come home and discuss it. And when it comes to one of the benefits of the socialist society, is that if a relationship is abusive, there'll be no material reason for any partner to stick. With somebody who's being abusive.
Absolutely.
The kids will still go to school, there'll still be food on the table, clothes on their backs, and your life will just go on. And when it comes to you're saying that the left have probably done a bit more than we have, the difference between the left and us is that we actually address the cause.
Yeah.
It's capitalism that produces all this human on human violence in all its forms. Yeah. What the left want to do, they want to get all moralistic and say, men shouldn't do this, men shouldn't do that, blah, 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 blah. So we address this, isn't it awful? Without actually addressing the cause of bringing all this violence about. So I don't think we should beat ourselves up on that one.
Mm. That's very, very good, point, Danny, there. And, I just sort of feel that things do not change overnight as far as human behaviour is concerned. You've got something happening in a way it does now in this system. And although we could achieve socialism very quickly when enough people are ready for it, that, the transfer, the actual functioning of it can be there very, very quickly, there would be a time needed for people to adapt and go, get used to the freedoms that they have. The mental attitude doesn't change just like that. But I don't want to drag this out at all. I think you're absolutely right, because without all the constraints and all those things, like you say, that would be so much pressure off, and people can actually decide how their lives are going to go.
I think just briefly, I think leading up to the revolution, when it really sort of started to bubble up and it became more and more apparent that it's going to happen, that's when I think, it could be sort of like the reset, going on in people's heads, because they'll have to start reconsidering everything about not only the life they're going to lead, but themselves.
In all ways, always.
So, when we get to the revolution, a lot of that stuff is already going to be done. And there will obviously be hang-ups, but we'll have one another looking after us.
Yeah.
None of us will be on our own anymore.
No, that's right.
Bill?
Danny's covered good chunks of what I was going to say, which is that once a lot of this is entirely property related, and things like the fact that, as a single person, I've had to make it to find housing in this country because the prices are geared towards two incomes.
Yes.
The price of any sizeable house, becomes enormous. So for a partner in a relationship would find it very materially disadvantageous to try and break away from a rotten arrangement. And for those parts of the world where honour killings still exist, let's not forget that there's the hang-up from the previous society where there was lots of wealth transferred through the exchange value of a hymen, which is exactly what's going on there. The honour killing is to protect the value of the dowry and the honour of the family. So it is very much related to this property. And as, talking about personal experience, my career has enormously benefited from the fact that I have never been pregnant. At least two bosses above me left to go and have babies.
Yes.
And the whole workplace is structured still around basically the assumption of one particular, a fairly male norm of not having to have childcare responsibilities. I've heard from friends in the NHS where some manager will be very sniffy about a man going out to pick up the kids. They go, well, why can't his wife do it? But they're perfectly happy to let women go on flexible working to go pick up the kids, because, this is cause reverse sonic resentment. Why can't the man have the same treatment? So the important thing is going to be that socialism not only will not the property barriers, there will be the political voice in the communal opportunity to organise, but also the fact that we would understand that we can only be as free as we can help each other to be. There'll be that support and assistance and determination that no one will be oppressing anyone else.
Mm. Yes, thank you.
Jacqueline.
Very briefly, another way to see how patriarchy works
is to be arrested by the police, dragged into court as a woman. Now, and I hate doing this because it always sounds like the hierarchy of oppression. We used to have rows about this in the 70s. Black people are even worse if you get dragged into a prison. See the sentences that are handed down. How dare a woman go into a court and be arrested? It doesn't matter how old you are, how you look, whatever. If you're of the working class, you are going to prison or you're going to be made an example of. If you are black and working class, you're already in prison. There's no bail. They're not giving you anything. This is going on. Go and look at Holloway Prison in North London. Go and have a look at the women sitting there because they did not have the sodding money to pay the fine for not having a TV licence. This is the system we live in. They're not murderers. They haven't killed anybody. They haven't beaten up their children. They did not have the money when he come knocking on their door, another member of the working class, to ask for their TV licence. I'm not talking my own experience. I've sat with these women. I've sat with women who blew up the BBC tower. They got such a heavy sentence. Old women are in prison, older than any of us women here, for doing a bit of shoplifting and stuff like that. And how they're spoken to in the court, how they're dealt with, and you're thrown out with, I think it was about, can't remember how much it was now, 14 shillings or 4 and 6 pence or something, and sent packing. That's how they deal with things. You don't believe what is going on in this country. Never mind abroad, but in this country alone, just go and have a look underneath the bubbling surface, the shit that's going on here. Crime and punishment for women is an absolute disgrace. And if it weren't for women standing up in groups, organised, united and everything else, happening to fight off middle-class women who wanted to come and tell us what our lives were, how we should do things, you know, there's a hierarchy. It is a class thing, and it is the system that thinks. It's not all about property either, Bill. Some men are just horrible, as some women are.
I've got James first, and then Kevin.
I can see that a lot of this is to do with property, but in actual fact, it's to do with independence in a way, isn't it? And once women will be able to be independent of men in a way, in other words, their needs are met without having to have a man around or to pool their resources in order to bring up a family or whatever. Yes, you can see that there's less chance of men being violent towards women, and hopefully in a society where we don't actually see other human beings as commodities anymore, we're not alienated to other humans, then yes, that's the answer. But in the meantime, I think we've got to take responsibility as men. And we do have a choice. You have a choice whether you're violent to women or not. Yeah. Everyone has that choice. It's not something that you can't have some kind of control over. And linking into this power thing, whereby in certain situations men feel that they somehow losing power and they react violently, and the woman in their life becomes the target. You decide to look at a football match, team loses. I mean, okay, that's pathetic, but can see that it does happen. This points to the fact that there is a patriarchy, because that means men had power, or they thought they had power. Who do they have power over? Well, women. And then when they think they're losing it in some way, whether that the power is being challenged, then the reaction is violence. Violence is what gave them power in the first place. Violence is what has sustained that power over women for millennia, and violence is the reaction to the fear of losing. But that's an example of how patriarchy works.
I have to comment, or you go to Kevin?
No, I don't. Go on. I don't think we need to. It's clear statement.
Okay, Kevin?
Yeah. Firstly, I think it's really good that with the meeting started, we're talking about a socialist world. And that was the major part of the discussion. And the patriarchy came along a bit later, and I'm glad we didn't start with patriarchy from the start, so we'd never get the lunch, would we? But, what attracted me to the socialist party, because I used to go to meetings for years over at King's Crossing, what attracted me over a period of time? Well, I realised that in the socialist party, they were spoke to completely different groups, inviting them up every debate, and even though they disagreed with the people, they would say, well, you're entitled to your opinion. You know, and it was that tolerance that brought me to the socialist party, and it's what I enjoy. Now, opinions have been expressed here today about the subject. I know I had a violent father, but, you know, it's an aside. And I know the good thing about the socialist party is when we go down to lunch, there'd be no, oh, he's a really horrible person or whatever. They say he's someone that had been and expressed it. Mm-hmm. And in the spirit of tolerance, everything's all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm well pleased with that.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take a roast potato off anyone. Okay, so we've still got a bit of time left, I think. Is all right, we've got about 12, yeah? So if anybody else would like to make a contribution, anything that Janet said that you want to disagree with? Alice. Alice, yeah?
I'll go round up on this whole patriarchy thing, because it is interesting. It's interesting, because we had a discussion yesterday.
Yes, we did.
And I said, I was doing it in a patriarchal society, it was a genuine question. And you looked yes. at me and said, yes, we do.
Yes.
And I was, okay, because I've heard other ideas about it, and I was... I was interested in how you were quite definite about that. But Joe Brown, the famous comedian, has one thing to say about fairness and equality. And she says, the day that I'm in a queue at the post office, and I've got a paper in my hand, and I open up the paper to page 3, and I see a man there with a jock strap around his nuts, and I go, oh, what a lovely pair. That's the way that we've got quality.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, good example. Very good example. Yeah.
Party
politics. You want to see the
reports
of the jock strap?
Brian, follow that if you can.
I'd just like to reinforce something you actually just brought up very when you were talking about climate change and the mm-hmm. ecological crisis, mm-hmm. and you mentioned this concept of anthropogenic, okay?
Yes.
I think what there is a problem now when they talk about the problems in the world are caused by humans, you know? And so we've got the concept of anthropogenic,
yes.
as if it's caused by humans, and we've got this concept now of the Anthropocene, as if it's, that sort of thing. I think what we've got to realise, of course, is not anthropogenic, it's actually caused by capitalism.
Ah, yes.
You know, it's
yes.
not. It's not the world's crisis is not caused mm. by, you know, people in Malawi and you know, mm. digging their little plots, mm. as it were. It's not. It's not a human thing. It's actually most of the problems in the world are actually caused by capitalism, not by people generally. And I think that's you briefly sort of implied that. Actually.
I hope that the context with which I gave it would have understood me to be saying. Because the way the system works, the profit system all the way through drives the way something's going to happen. Yeah. And whether that was through industry and the military, and however it is pushed, it is always pushed for profit without any thought,
yeah.
no consideration about the externalities, the effects, whether instant effects or more long-term effects.
I wasn't criticising you.
No.
I was reaffirming what you
fine.
Actually implied.
That's fine.
Actually, because I think generally speaking, the things are talked about as being caused by humans.
Yes.
And, you know, and this is a very, it's not a way of seeing things.
It's, no, it's a very, very good
so
point.
So I was trying to reaffirm yep. what you were saying, not actually
thank
be
you,
critical
Brian.
Of you.
No, very good point, really.
Danny?
You get that thing about, capitalism, this is what we've got. So this is what we must want. It's down to capitalism's down to human nature. This context and everything. I mean, if you take what we put forward, I'm reminded of all the time when I look around, is when we say that the natural industrial resources of the earth are the common heritage for humans.
Well, if that is denied, if our common heritage is denied, then our common humanity, therefore, must be denied. So if we live in a system of society where our common humanity is denied, that society has to be dysfunctional. It can be nothing other than dysfunction. And so, therefore, dysfunctional society is going to have, dysfunctional outcomes. And, and climate change and poverty and violence are all those things that will result from it. Mm. You know, the denial of our common humanity, the denial, if you like, of our common identity. You know, we're forced to be something that is really unnatural for us to be.
Yeah. I can't add anything. Thank you.
Anybody else? Anything else?
Fred?
One great point that's not been mentioned. The oldest profession on earth will disappear overnight under socialism, and that will be prostitution.
Yes, yes. People will do it for fun instead of for money, yeah?
It's very succinct, Fred.
Yes.
No, it's good, Fred.
I mean, wage slavery is a form of prostitution.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Selling your talents and abilities to others to interest other than your own.
Yeah, but Fred was relating to the patriarchal thing, you see, as well.
James?
Jennifer said something about climate change, which is a word, externality.
Yes.
And that actually, it sort of really sort of encapsulates the whole thing, the whole problem.
Yes.
In as much as in the capitalist system, it's all about, well, as it, you know, as it says in Latin, really, capital accumulation. And the environment, in fact, the world that we actually live on, is external to that. So, like Danny says, it's a dysfunctional society, because how on earth can the way you organise, you know, life, the human life on a planet, how on earth could you actually have a rational society? How could it be a rational society where it sees the environment, which is, you know, crucial for your actual survival, as external to your any consideration of actually providing people's needs. So that's it, isn't it? We need a society where the environment is not external to how the system works. It's integral to it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that is you can think of all kinds of examples of people like Larry Summers and people at the tops of corporation things, and the quotes that you could give, you know, that show if we had them in this room, they would go out there, they still wouldn't understand. You know, like the fact, I remember him saying about, like water, he was asked, you know, for instance, well, what about water? Well, water's a human right, surely. No, it isn't. It's only you know, if you pay for it. You know, something that we say, what? It just doesn't seem possible that you could deprive someone of one of the three basic necessities of life, really, just to keep life going. But over and over, people at that level are doing it and denying that we need these things. So that is part of our fight, isn't it? You know, getting over that.
Yeah, anybody else? Sorry, Rob.
And John. You know, you've got to remember that people are brought up in a society in which, you know, the authority, state, institutions that people brought up to respect, or used to respect, are lucky now they're learning not to respect. Yeah. You know, like war is right, it's morally right. You know, government organised groups of class go out and commute each other. And, you know, when you then say that on a personal level that, you know, we shouldn't be violent with each other, you know, of course we shouldn't, we wouldn't know that, but how difficult is it for some people not to differentiate between that it's alright for the government to go and kill people for nothing that matters when in their own personal lives that they have to behave differently? And there's so many contradictions in life that as individuals trying to do the right thing,
but
not clear.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? You know, so I think so much of this is manipulation. It's all part of this thing of manipulation of the population again, isn't it? You know, one thing, I think through, if I say government-controlled media, that I really believe it is, you know, here, in this country, yeah, government controlled and corporation controlled. The BBC is government controlled. It's got an agenda. It doesn't give you the whole truth. It's no way the whole truth, you know, nothing but the truth sort of thing. They give you the bits they want and they leave an awful lot out. And they do, and they have, it's on record. Look at Media Lens on the internet if you want to see the lies that the BBC tell you, for instance. Then you've got all the other media that people watch, other television or whether it's newspapers or whatever, and who owns those? You know, it's some rich bastard somewhere or a group of, and they are going to push the line that continue to make them rich, you know, with the influence that they have all over the place. And if it comes down to it, if you could get to individuals and speak to them about war, if they actually understand what has sparked a war or seemed to have sparked a war, if they know the truth behind where it started, why it started, then there's a chance that they change their mind. But, I mean, with the Iraq War, which is now how long ago? When did that start? How many years? 11? What, I can't quite remember, but 13?
2003.
Yeah, 13. How many people went out on the streets in so many different countries, you know, because they didn't want it? And a lot of people would sit at home and not really think about it too much because it's not in their backyard. There's that as well. You know, if it was coming home, if it was somewhere closer, they might think differently about it. And it's when it's people who've got no people who've been killed and injured. And the other thing I would say about that is how each country nationally, you know, it's the national thing, they each have their own agenda and they will organise that in different ways. So to keep their population as much on their side as they can. They don't want them to go against what they're going to do. But, you know, what you don't see in, say, in this country, you see very little, actually, of the ramifications of the invasions that they did in Afghanistan and Iraq. You're not seeing it every day on the television here. It's forgotten, isn't it? I think it's forgotten here, but it's still going on. And people need to... It's like an education process. People have to have it put in front of them what has happened because of what they have done, what their country has ordered to be done, and the reasons that they've actually done it, but which you don't get from the government or the media. Just get lies.
Well, I think that...
I'm sorry, John first, Kevin. Sorry.
I didn't see his angle.
Oh, yeah, he's very sneaky. Sorry.
I was interested when you spoke about education because it brought back echoes of my past life. And I'd like to relate it to what you were saying about the, you know, what would happen about all these lazy people. You know, in socialism, you know, we'll get off their backsides to do anything. Well, I had the dubious pleasure many years ago of teaching on occasion one who is the owner of who was one of the laziest, most uncooperative individuals I've ever encountered. Gave absolutely nothing to the school community, you know, and has turned out to be one of the richest people in the country, entirely on the backs of the labour of the working class.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, capitalism seems to have found its reward for the lazy people. You know, and the idea that these people who have all the money, you know, somehow have some special characteristics and drive, you know, whereby they earn their just reward, I think is contradicted entirely by the case of that. You
know. Yes, yes.
Well, I was going to use an uncomplimentary term, but that particular individual, shall we say.
Thank you for that.
Well, when I come to do the audio for this and upload it online, for legal reasons, I'll change that name to Mickey Mouse. Just to save you. Right, we're running out of time, really, but if people can be quite brief, we've got Kevin and then Vincent.
I remember the big demonstration at Trafalgar Square against the war. Just when you think it can't get any worse, I thought, you know, once all the bombing was done and everything else, Captain Wilson is so clever, they're now going to charge the people for clearing all the mess up. So Haley Berry, Dick Cheney's organisation, after saturating these people with bombs, they come in and get a profit out of cleaning the place up. First you bomb them, then you clear up the rubbish. It's profit. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Vince?
Yeah, capitalism is a dictatorship. A dictatorship of capital over the world's population. And obviously, we're talking about the world's class. But it won't go on forever, just as past dictatorships, maybe in ancient Greece, in Italy, and of course in more recent times in Nazi Germany, China, and the former Soviet Union. All of those dictatorships collapsed in one way or another, not leading to necessarily to certainly not leading to the type of world that we are aiming for. But the point is that those dictatorships ended, and the world moved on. And capitalism quite clearly has existed for several hundred years. It's been able to adapt and develop itself in many different ways. But the weakness of this dictatorship is, as we've said many times before, it's the contradictions. The contradictions are there for people to see, and it's up to the majority population to open their eyes and see those contradictions and to find the alternative.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not really answering that, but it just made me think how much I've appreciated being here again this weekend with the various input that we've had, you know, not just now, I'm talking about the whole thing, and how it actually, for me, it makes me go away renewed for meeting people again. And, you know, let's face it, you know, between events, you sometimes get a bit sort of tired, don't you, of saying the same old thing to more people? But this is what it's about. This is what we are about, isn't it? We it's just saying it how it is to whoever is interested in talking about it at some level or another. And to get this thing any closer, that's what we have to continue doing. That's my very, very, very strong feeling. And I don't see any reason why it couldn't be. As well, you know, as I said before, when you see the positive that of the how to get rid of this filthy, awful system, which is making more people every year more desperate, to actually decide that we get rid of that and bring in the alternative has to give people some positive, I think, hope. Don't like that word too much, but it's the conviction is what I'm really saying. I feel that I don't care about people giving me the negative about it. Come on, put your mind in a different place. Just because you've been stuck with this stuff for so long, nearly all your life, so do you have to keep it? You know, that, come on, don't let people get to you because they're so stuck in something that they can't just make that little switch to see it. Anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Great, that's good.
I think so, yeah. Well, has anybody got any very quick, brief, final words to say?
Thank you, Janet.
And if not, do you want to sum up any more?
We don't need to sum up any more. We all know where we're at here with this and what's been said. And great, thank you so much for all the feedback and whatnot.
Well, thank you very much, Janet, for that excellent talk. And thank you all.